You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday, one and all. I hope your work week has gotten off to an excellent start, and I hope you've got an opportunity this afternoon to enjoy some of our beautiful fall Wisconsin weather. It remains nearly summer-like. Boy, if there's a chance to get out and enjoy it now, try to take it because Lord knows it won't last long. Welcome, everybody. We've got some news. I'm sure all of you, maybe most of you, watched that incredibly disappointing Packers game yesterday. I thought we were supposed to be in a run for the Super Bowl. Doesn't quite look like it yet. A wee bit of disappointment. But that was, of course, tempered by the fact that the Brewers have won a franchise record 97 games. So exciting. What a finish to the season for the crew. Of course, also securing home field advantage throughout the postseason with the NLDS kicking off in short order. I'm going to be watching those wild card games with some attention. I don't know. Who do you want us to play? I might almost want to see the Padres. I don't know. Stay tuned. Much to see there. Funny little note. HBO Max is, I guess, carrying some of the postseason, I think, for the first time. Anyways, they put a big graphic up today for, you know, advertising their postseason coverage. And right smack dab in the middle of that graphic, advertising HBO Max's postseason coverage, was a New York Metropolitan, one of the Mets. But oh, maybe HBO Max didn't get the memo. The Mets are out. Something that I will not be crying any tears about, especially given the fact that they knocked the Brew Crew out last year in a heartbreaker of a third wild card game. HBO, get your stuff together. A little embarrassing, I might say. But in the political sphere, folks, just an absolute ton of things happening today. I'm really excited for some of our guests. At the bottom of this hour, I'm going to be joined by Heather Williams. She is the president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. We're going to be digging into what to expect in 2026, why are state legislatures so incredibly important for 2028. You think these things are distinct questions, distinct election cycles? They are not. It all comes together. We're going to be talking to Heather about that. And we're going to have a great expert on at 5 o'clock. You've heard him here before. It's Lowell Barrington. He's an associate professor of political science from Marquette. He's going to help us unpack what exactly went down today in the White House. Of course, President Trump and Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, announcing that apparently without talking to Hamas or even giving them a draft document, they've decided how to bring about peace in the Mideast and for Gaza to move forward. We're going to discuss that with Professor Barrington, as well as Donald Trump's meltdown at the UN and his flippity-floppity-flip-flip-flip on Russia-Ukraine. Now, looks like Trump is all in for Ukraine. We'll try to figure out what's going on there with the good professor at 5 o'clock. Of course, at 5 o'clock as well, we are still in Civic Media's multi-state text-to-win contest, where we are giving away great daily prizes, as well as a couple of tickets to an incredible football game in November between Green Bay and Minnesota. So you're not going to want to miss the word of the hour. We're going to start with that at 5 p.m. So got a great show for everybody this afternoon. But there is a new entrant into the Wisconsin gubernatorial race. If you have lost track, let me help you out. Bill Berrien out, mainly because he liked to talk a lot of smack about the LGBTQIA community, but apparently was following some sexually explicit material online. Oops-a-daisy, don't you hate it when that happens for those Republicans that like to pound the table about family values? Hypocrisy is not just a word in the dictionary. So Bill Berrien's out, but we've got a new entrant today. The former head of the state's Economic Development Agency is running for governor as a Democrat, saying that her business experience sets her apart from the field. Missy Hughes was the secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corp, the WEDC, from 2019 until she stepped down a little earlier this month. She was previously an executive at the Organic Valley Dairy Cooperative for 17 years. And in a video that launched her campaign this morning, Hughes said that her resume, her business experience, tells voters she's just not a politician, saying, quote, "I'm different than other folks you've seen run for governor. That's the point." I'm so excited to talk with her. I know my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, is going to be all over that. We'll, of course, get Missy on the program to discuss her candidacy. I love the fact that the Democratic primary field for the governor's office is filled with women with, frankly, incredibly impressive backgrounds, with experience outside of political office or appointed office in the case of Missy Hughes. I think bringing some of that business expertise from the Democratic side is really critical in this moment. I'm excited for her candidacy, very excited to talk with her. Of course, she'll be all over Civic Media's airwaves, talking to some of our hosts up and down our daily lineup. Can't wait to speak with her. I also wanted to share this bit of sound because it was, well, just funny. You know those Sunday talk shows? Well, Mike Johnson was on the talk show on CNN. It's called State of the Union. It's hosted by Jake Tapper on Sundays. And there was a wee bit of an awkward moment as Speaker Mike Johnson was talking about how important the rule of law is and that it must apply to everyone equally. Take a listen.
To hold people accountable, we have to ensure that the rule of law applies to everyone. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Does the rule of law have to apply to people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's new information over the last couple of days about that as well. Apparently, there were 274 FBI agents in the crowd on January 6th.
No.
I think the total Cash Patel
just brought some enhanced understanding to that. They were sent there to do crowd control because of everything that was going on. It wasn't a false flag operation, as President Trump suggests.
And it's always been disputed what involvement some of those persons, engaged in, what involvement they had. Did they spur on the crowd? Did they open the gates to allow them in? I don't know. These are questions, but they should be answered. And yes, there's a lot of investigation and discovery to go forward.
Okay. Is anyone else incredibly sick of this stupid rhetorical trope that you hear? I'm just asking questions. No, Speaker Mike Johnson. The facts are clear. The FBI director said those FBI agents, those 274, this is from Cash Patel, Trump lackey, crony of cronies, right? They showed up after the insurrection was underway. There was no false flag. There's been absolutely zero evidence to that effect at all. Yet Mike Johnson, these are questions that need to be answered. We need to do some investigation. There's been investigations. They have looked at the tapes and footage. It was not a false flag operation. These were Donald Trump supporters whipped up by J.D. Vance, Mike Flynn, the president himself. They were the ones chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." This idea that Republicans get to just make stuff up every other day about what their values are is getting tired, right? You need only look at, pick any one of Donald Trump's signature policies. Tariffs, or his promise to release the Epstein files, or his promise to bring prices down, or his promise to end the Ukraine-Russia war on day one. All of this is just complete and utter hogwash. They're just making it up. And they expect, or apparently think, that every American and every single one of their supporters are stupid. They think we're stupid. I do not understand how Mike Johnson can sit in that interview and say those things and think that it sounds even halfway reasonable. And the fact that the Speaker of the House of Representatives would then put forward a lie about the 274 FBI agents that responded to the insurrection that was already underway is so despicable. And this happens frequently in the MAGAverse. There'll be one exaggeration or untruth. It then gets exaggerated even more by the next talking head and by the next and by the next, and it metastasizes on social media. And all of a sudden, I've got conservative callers calling me up and saying, well, Maggie, what about those 274 FBI agents? They were the ones that were razzing up the crowd. The lies become fact. It is so frustrating. And again, I'm just asking some questions. Maybe, Mr. Speaker, you should do some reading. Maybe, Mr. Speaker, it behooves the leader of the House of Representatives to have mastered the facts of a situation before making incendiary, completely false statements on a nationwide Sunday morning television broadcast. It's so furious. And the reason that I'm pointing this out is twofold. Because it's Monday and I had a chip on my shoulder about it, but also to let you all know that we are now going to have a new segment on Mondays starting this Monday, today at 5:30. We're going to call it the Monday Sound Off. You too can get in on the action. What has been bugging you? Is there an issue, a particular Trump misspeak, stream of consciousness? Oh my gosh, what is that guy even saying? Moment from the past week or from those Sunday morning talk shows that you want to talk about? We're going to give you the opportunity to weigh in every Monday at 5:30. We're going to call it the Monday Sound Off. What is grinding your gears? And you will be able to tell me, and we will discuss as we like to do here. When we come back, I've got something that has been grinding my gears for quite some time, and that is part of this ridiculous veneration of Charlie Kirk. Of the 58 Democrats in the House of Representatives that are white, all but two of them voted in support of the Charlie Kirk Memorial Resolution. I want to talk about that, but I specifically want to talk about what former Milwaukee Archbishop Cardinal Timothy Dolan said on Fox News. You want to talk about getting on a nationwide news program and not having mastery of the facts and saying things that are incredibly incendiary? Or Cardinal Dolan, who is now the Archbishop of the nation's most prestigious and largest archdiocese. It is considered the crown jewel amongst American archbishops. He is, of course, the cardinal that covers the Archdiocese of New York. He got on Fox last week and blew my mind. As someone who was raised Catholic, I felt like what this man had to say was an absolute abomination and completely devoid of any facts here from Earth One. We're going to discuss that. I've got the sound from it. I want to share it with you. I want to get some of your reactions to it when we come back on the other side. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you are a Catholic, you are going to want to listen to the manner in which the former Archbishop of the Milwaukee Diocese, how he venerated Charlie Kirk, a conspiracy theorist who traded in racism, sexism, homophobia, and xenophobia on the regular. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. At 5:30 this afternoon, we are going to have our first weekly Monday Sound Off where you get to call in and tell me what has been bugging you, what's on top of your mind, because there's just so much in the news every day. We can't possibly get to all of it, and this will be your time to share your thoughts with me and the rest of our amazing listeners. So get your ideas and your beefs ready. We'll be doing that at 5:30 today, 855-752-4842. To prime the pump for that segment, I have to start with one of the things that has had me raging over the past week and a half. The former Archbishop of the Milwaukee Diocese, Timothy Dolan, who now is the Archbishop, the Cardinal for the New York Archdiocese, which is sort of like the crown jewel. It's considered an incredibly plum appointment, went on Fox News in the wake of Charlie Kirk's death And I don't even know, the kindest way I can put this is demonstrated his absolute and utter ignorance and his complete capture by the MAGA movement in his comments about Mr. Kirk. It speaks for itself, so let's just take a listen. This is Cardinal Timothy Dolan about a week and a half ago on Fox News.
I thought, I gotta learn about this guy. And the more I learned about him, I thought, this guy's a modern day St. Paul. He was a missionary. He's an evangelist. He's a hero. He's one, I think, that knew what Jesus meant when he said, the truth will set you free. And to do it, now, I understand he was pretty blunt and he was pretty direct. He didn't try to avoid any controversy. He didn't even try to avoid confrontation. The difference is the way, the mode, the style that he did it, always with respect. And not only was that a gracious kind of virtuous thing to do, it's effective. Because when your opponents see, this guy kind of respects me. We kind of disagree here, but he kind of enjoys me. And he's thanking me for being here. And he's telling me he appreciates the trust I have in him in sharing my views. I thought, this guy can teach us something.
What was that? I gotta learn something about this guy. He's like a modern-day St. Paul. No, he's not. He was a bigot, a xenophobe, and a misogynist, a homophobe. He may have spoke politely, but his words and what he offered up was so far from the teachings of Christ that it stuns. And for a modern leader of the Catholic Church in this time, when the faith of so many has been tested by scandal after scandal, for the cardinal with the most preeminent position in the United States Catholic Church to get on the faux news network and say what he said is so shocking. Now, there's a gentleman out there who has a Substack. His name is Christopher Hale. He writes a lot about the intersection of the Catholic Church and politics. There have been reports from Christopher Hale and some others that Pope Leo may be looking to replace Cardinal Dolan after the utter disgrace that was his appearance. Who the heck is working for the Cardinal in New York? You didn't think to maybe Google a few things about Charlie Kirk before you went on the news and called him blunt and always arguing with respect? What pray tell might Shirley Jackson Lee or Ketanji Brown Jackson think, whom Charlie Kirk said only got their jobs because they're black and lacked the brain processing power, who took their jobs from white people? I wonder what they thought. I wonder what black and brown Americans across this great land thought. I wonder what Catholics of good conscience thought in response to that. This is unacceptable. And why? Of all of the networks, if you want to talk about Kirk, the role potentially on any program would be to not venerate, but reasonably criticize and call for peace. I don't know what the hell is wrong with this guy. Remember, he sat right next to Donald Trump at this fancy pants gala thing in New York City during the campaign. Cardinal Timothy Dolan has betrayed the trust of millions of Catholics in doing that. It shocks the conscience of this Catholic. Jeannie from Eau Claire, your thoughts. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. Great shows. You've been just really going full force. Wonderful shows, I have to tell you. Outstanding. And I hope everybody gets a chance to, even the ones they've missed, to watch or listen to. First of all, how long do we get to blast off? on what's bothering us. Do we get a few days or weeks or months maybe?
We're going to be doing this, Jeannie, every Monday at 5:30. Every Monday. So you can mark your calendar and save up your particular issues for Mondays at 5:30. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that, this type of a person, I'm not Catholic, but to praise or follow a person or sit next to a person, put their name on the Bible, that's pretty telling to me. So,
yeah, it just, we're going to dig into this more tomorrow with Angela Lang, talking about this veneration, this falling all over ourselves to honor a man who dishonored so many Americans. You might speak politely, but when what you say is violent, I don't care if you're polite. Stay tuned with us. We're going to be right back with Heather Williams, president of the DLCC, next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're just joining us, or if you're rejoining us, I guess I should say. I'm Maggie Dawn. It is Monday. I hope your work week is starting out well. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and you're going to want to keep listening, because at 5 o'clock at Civic Media's Multi-State Text to Win giveaway, go for the green and gold. Every day we've got daily prizes, cash, gold jewelry, and the grand prize is a couple of tickets to see Green Bay play Minnesota in late November. You want to be a winner like Dave from Kenosha listening on WRJN, or Angie from Hammond listening at WSCM. So stay tuned. The word to win on this Monday will be dropped in the 5 o'clock hour. Go get that Civic Media app so that you are ready to get entered. But right now we've got an incredibly important guest. Her name is Heather Williams. She's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, the DLCC. And we're going to be talking about 2026, as well as the bright spots for Democrats that we're seeing all across the nation in special elections. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Heather. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
So happy to have you. This is a critically important conversation because I think people feel a little down, but there are reasons for hope and excitement. But let's start with the basics. A lot of people know about the DCCC. They've heard of that, but not everybody knows what the DLCC is. So please share with folks what your organization's all about.
Yeah, the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, or DLCC, is the campaign arm for state legislatures. Our work is building power in our state capitals across the country.
Excuse me, which is so important, especially leading up to the 2026 midterms, especially given the gerrymandering race to the bottom that we're seeing. But let's start here at home. We've got a chance in 2026 for Democrats to take back both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature. Early signals look good. Of course, we've got Judge Crawford's victory in April of this year. We've got much fairer maps in the state. We've been interviewing a few of the folks that have entered the races in toss-up districts that are almost 50-50 right now. Chances look good, especially given the fact that Trump continues a free fall in basically any poll that's worth its salt. Tell us, what's the DLCC looking at in Wisconsin for 2026?
I mean, I think there's a lot of exciting things happening in Wisconsin. And hopefully, I don't need to tell your listeners that, because I hope that folks are getting involved and finding their current state reps and participating in their door knocking and all of the work that they're doing already. We also know that there's many candidates that are raising their hand to run for office, and we're just really excited about the opportunity. I think Wisconsin has been a place, and I know you know this, I know all of the listeners know this, that their voice has been silenced because of a gerrymander that didn't allow for people to actively participate in choosing their state legislator. And that is no longer the case. And it's been really amazing with the strong organizing across the state, the incredible candidates who have raised their hand to run for office, and just the dynamic leadership in both of these legislative chambers, what it has meant for progress in 2024, and how excited we are about the opportunity here in 26.
Yeah, I think this is one of those election cycles that could really be a major tipping point in Wisconsin. And given Wisconsin's importance nationally as sort of a bellwether for what's happening in our nation's politics, it's an incredibly important election cycle. This is one of those opportunities that I say to listeners, people are frustrated. I think the news is incredibly depressing. It is, the Steve Bannon flood the zone. There seems to be never-ending bad news all of the time. This is an opportunity in this cycle specifically for people to get involved. These are candidates that you can hear, see, feel, and touch. You can meet them. You can door knock for them. It's all about ground game. It's all about organic grassroots movements. That's what has always worked in the state of Wisconsin. It's why I'm so excited as we here at Civic Media get to meet these incredible candidates as the season develops. But let's talk about some of these bright spots that we're seeing nationwide, Heather. And folks, if you're just joining us, my guest this half hour is Heather Williams, president of the DLCC, the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. There are many reasons to be very, very hopeful given some of the big wins that Democrats have notched in special elections since the November devastating loss to Donald Trump. We had, of course, Caitlin Dre on this show just about a month ago. She won a big seat in Iowa that had gone Republican. She basically flipped that by double digits. Heather, tell us about these bright spots that the DLCC are seeing across the country.
Yeah, Senator Dre now of Iowa is such a great example of the the kind of people that we're seeing run for office all across the country. And as you alluded to, we do have some very real bright spots. You know, we have special elections basically every Tuesday at the state legislative ballot level. There's more than 7,000 state legislators. So as you can imagine, there's always a little activity happening. And, we know one of the clearest ways to change the course of our country is to elect different people. And we are seeing the voters show up and do that all the time. And what's interesting about this is our special elections are they're in red states, they're in blue states, they're in purple states. Same with red, blue, purple communities. And we are seeing energy around the candidates, the Democratic candidates in all of these places. And we see this, I think, both because these candidates are of their community, right? They're real people looking for solutions, trying to be a part of a new way forward. And that really, right, like resonates with their districts and with their communities. But also, they are still in their communities. They're connecting with people on the issues that they care most about. They're having real conversations about what a path forward could look like, about the way, these mega policies and this economic approach is hurting them, the way that they don't see a path forward, or they're not sure how they could be doing all the things right, but still feel like they're behind. And those conversations and holding space for that is really creating opportunities for Democrats to connect with voters. And voters are delivering good results. We saw this flip in Iowa. There was a flip of another double-digit Trump seat a little bit earlier in the year, another one in Pennsylvania. We protected majorities already in legislatures. This is a bright spot, and it's going to continue to build as we move into the off-year elections here in November, where lots of voters have an opportunity to make their voice heard, and then, of course, carry this into the momentum and I think the environment as we set up for these midterms.
Yeah, it is. I think this is the time for people start to really pay attention. What I think is the unfortunate reality of the big, brutal bill, we're seeing both candidates flip state legislative districts in some of these specials. We've also seen Democrats that are running a Democratic district pick up margins in some of the special elections. I say the unfortunate part is this is all before the impacts of the big brutal bill have really even begun to take hold. People are going to have absolute sticker shock when the ACA exchanges open on November 1st. Premiums will be skyrocketing. Many folks won't be able to afford insurance at all. We know that businesses have not yet fully incorporated or figured out what they're going to absorb and what they will ultimately be required to pass on to customers in terms of the tariff terror that Trump has unleashed. So we know that, frankly, and sadly, so much more pain, and I think whipsaw breaking of promises is still on the horizon. When you look into 2026, Wisconsin is obviously big ticket item for the DLCC. What other states are you focusing on that you think maybe have legislatures that are up for grabs?
Yeah, this is a great question. So there are five state legislative chambers where a change of one seat would mean Democrats lose power. We've got on the November ballot in 2025, the Virginia House of Delegates. And then we move into 26, where we've got one seat majority and a tie in Minnesota chambers. We've got a one seat majority in the Michigan Senate, a one seat majority in the Pennsylvania House. So returning those majorities and protecting and expanding upon them, right, is really critical. And then we've got these great opportunities in Wisconsin to build upon real progress and challenge these Republicans who are, you know, so out of step and out of touch with what's going on in people's lives and the solutions that they need, you know, to feel good about the direction of their own lives and this country. In addition to Wisconsin, we're looking at the Michigan House. We have an opportunity to change that trajectory, pick up that legislative chamber, and make progress in places like Arizona and New Hampshire, Georgia, making sure that we're protecting the governor's veto pen in North Carolina. And, you know, evaluating as we move through this midterm cycle, evaluating what's happening in, you know, in voters' lives and how they're feeling about the direction of the country to make sure that we're taking advantage of every opportunity that exists.
Folks, again, that is Heather Williams. She's president of the DLCC, the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. We're going to get into redistricting, but I want to ask you this question, Heather, because in Democratic circles, when I'm talking to my friends, this seems to be a big focus. And that is, what do we do when the dog catches the car? And that means I think some of this is highly possible, if not probable, in 2026, given the dissatisfaction across the country with Donald Trump's failed policies on virtually, well, everything. Do Democrats, does the DLCC, is there an organizing principle to help Democrats focus on what can be high impact, high level results for voters who may be very disaffected and feel like Donald Trump has broken promises to them?
I mean, I think for us, right, we have a solution. We have our spotlight races. These are races that we've identified across the country that, you know, represent the opportunity of state legislatures of progress. We identify these candidates. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org to find out more. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved, who want to get in front of these opportunities, and frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work, and we must, right, like, communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it. And we're going to win these races having those kinds of conversations. We did it in 2024, despite the top of the ticket performance. And we're going to do it in 2026 in the exact same way.
Folks, again, that's Heather Williams. She's going to come back with me on the other side. She's the president of the DLCC. One of the things that's really interesting in this moment is what the primary cycles are going to look like for some of these seats and who Democratic voters turn out for to be the response to Trump. If y'all have been listening to me for basically more than 5 minutes, I call myself a radical pragmatist. I want the stuff that's going to work, and I want people that can deliver real solutions. We're going to continue to talk about what that looks like for Democrats in 26. We're going to also talk about the gerrymandering race to the bottom and what that means beyond 26 with Heather Williams. Stay with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest this half hour is Heather Williams, president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. We are talking about state legislatures in 2026 and the great potential, the great possibilities for Democrats. We're going to get to one of the elections that Heather mentioned earlier coming up just this fall, this year, still in 2025. But let's talk about the gerrymandering race to the bottom that's going on. Heather, my view has always been as soon as Donald Trump called on Texas to steal votes away from Texas voters to basically suborn the undermining of democracies to engage in something that has not been done as long as I've been ever alive, which is the mid-decade redistricting. My response has been, yep, California needs to do that because there's just too much at stake in the House of Representatives. There is too much power being allocated to a president that seems to have no respect for constitutional norms or even the rule of law at its most basic. But Heather, from a state legislative perspective, why are state legislatures so important to the redistricting process if people might not be able to see the connection? People think redistricting, they think gerrymandering, they think U.S. House of Representatives, right? But it goes beyond that, and the legislatures have a really important role to play.
That is exactly right. The power of the pen to draw those congressional districts sits with many state legislatures. Roughly 300 of the congressional seats are drawn by legislators alone. And actually, this cycle on our target map, on DLCC's target map of opportunities in the 2025-2026 elections, 98 congressional districts are at stake. And what that means is we need to work really hard to put Democrats in a position of power so that they can wield it as needed to ensure that our Congress, the Congress of this country, is reflective of our voters, that it is not stolen by a power play that on behalf of Republicans, but rather that we fight to ensure that people's voices are heard and recognized in this process. So a lot at stake. The power of the pen sits with state legislatures. That is important to note now in the minute that we are in, where Republicans are using their power to steal this election and to minimize the impact of Democrats so that they can secure their power for a long time, but also on the path to 2030 as we build for the natural redistricting cycle and the census that comes in a post-2030 election.
Yeah, it's so much there, Heather. I try to explain this frequently to people that while our attention gets focused in the national politics, these state legislative races are essential. We've talked about the fact that Virginia, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania state legislatures are basically up for grabs. And the willingness of Republicans not only to spread Donald Trump's big lie in 2020, but in many states like Wisconsin, slates of fake electors, right? Willingness to allow the federal government to seize voting machines, depending on how their legislatures and how their state law operates in terms of election oversight and the role of the secretaries of state, all of those things. It's so important to understand the relationship between the state legislature and these congressional maps. And it is, as it is in the state of Wisconsin, we do not have an independent redistricting committee structure statewide. It is the state legislature that decides these maps. And we have been laboring under Republican leadership, as many states have in their legislatures, where fundamentally what they want to do is just wipe out tens of thousands of votes by unfairly weighting districts to the extent that there is no competition for the seat at all. It just automatically goes to a Republican. It got so bad in the state of Wisconsin, folks, that in past cycles, you go back 2012, 2014, other cycles, where Democrats were winning clear majorities of the absolute number of votes being cast in state legislative races. The dual chambers of our state legislature were weighted nearly 60% towards Republicans, and that is vote stealing. So we've got to pay attention to these state legislative races because it is there in so many of these states where the redistricting battles are fought. Let's just talk very briefly. You mentioned this race a little bit earlier, Heather. In Virginia, this fall, this November, there's a key state legislative race that should be on everybody's radar. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so in Virginia, we have a one-seat majority in the state house and a real opportunity in a state that deeply is impacted by the wielding of power Republicans are doing federally, the DOGE cuts, the Medicaid cuts, the cuts to veteran services, the impact on rising healthcare costs, and so much more. We have a real opportunity to not only protect this one seat majority, but to expand upon it. And this is going to be so important. The Speaker of the House in Virginia's name is Don Scott. And he says it is incumbent on Virginians to send a love letter to the rest of the country that reminds them that Democrats can win and that we are on a strong path to these midterms to take back our country.
Folks, you can find out more about that race at dlcc.org. We're also going to put a link to the race specifically in Virginia in their House of Delegates this November for the candidate that's running on the Democratic side. So you can find out more about that. The DLCC, they're also looking at, again, Pennsylvania Supreme Court races that are possibility. Races in Mississippi, even New Jersey. Again, you can check out all of that and more at the dlcc.org. When we come back on the other side, again, it's Civic Media's multi-state text-to-win contest. Go for the green and gold. You can be a winner like Ruth from Chedek listening on WCFW or Dave in Richland Center on WRCE. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back and joined by Professor Lowell Barrington of Marquette University to talk about the peace deal.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.